It's been a week since the state Supreme Court struck down Governor Tony Evers' safer at home order. We've been getting reaction from all over the area. We're going to talk with Waupun City Administrator Kathy Schlieve, find out how businesses are slowly reopening in the community of Waupun over the course of the last week, coming up on the next segment of the show. And we will get our daily coronavirus update with Fond du Lac County Public Health Officer Kim Miller on the final segment of the show. Joining us on this segment of the program, United States Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator Baldwin, a pleasure having you on the program.
Well, good morning. It's a delight to join you.
About a week ago, the U.S. House passed another economic stimulus package, and it's just sitting in the Senate. Do you have any idea if and when you're going to vote on another package?
I wish I had a timetable. We are seeing no sense of urgency from Senate Republicans and Mitch McConnell after the House has done its job and passed another COVID-19 relief bill. It's clear to me, despite the magnitude of the CARES Act, which was the third major package, that we have more work to do to recover from this pandemic and our current economic crisis. And I believe that whether we were to take up that House bill as passed or present an alternative that could then be negotiated between the two houses, I think there's an urgency for further steps, things that were unaddressed in the previous measures or things that the administration has failed to do that really Congress needs to require it to do in order for us to fight both the coronavirus but then begin an economic recovery, which is going to be a significant job to do.
Well, I know you can correct me if I'm wrong. I know a lot of municipalities and local governments were looking to this package because didn't it include aid for local governments who are really going to be strapped financially, budget wise?
It does. The House passed bill really recognize the dire straits that our cities, towns, villages, counties, and our states across the nation are in. You know, the administration has, rather than, for example, federalizing our medical supply chain for PPE and testing, it really said, now I'm going to leave it to the states. And it's the states and the cities in many ways that are on the front lines with public health departments and first responders, et cetera. And this aid is needed, and it's needed desperately. It would be most ironic if we see cities having to lay off and furlough workers who are doing essential work right now because of their fiscal situation. And so, as I said, the House passed bill has really robust assistance to localities in the states. I think that, you know, whether we end up in the Senate just borrowing their work on this and passing the same legislation or, you know, changing it somewhat and sending it back for an agreed upon bill, states and localities that provide essential and basic services need to be a big part of that.
All right. Earlier this week, you helped introduce the Bipartisan Farming Support to States Act. What would that do?
Well, this measure, which, as you noted, is bipartisan, not only in the Senate, but in the House. But I introduced it after seeing that many of the ways in which we assist farmers or others in agriculture don't work for this pandemic. we're seeing a different set of challenges in our agricultural economy. And it has to do with how the supply chain works. So the irony, again, is that we have dairy farmers needing to dump milk. We have livestock farmers needing to cull their herds. And we have empty dairy cases in grocery stores and an inadequate supply of nutritious products in food banks. How can that be? Well, it's because in many cases, the processors in the middle are needing to close temporarily, perhaps because of an outbreak, as we've seen in the meatpacking industry in Wisconsin. Or you have, as you do in the dairy industry, processors that process for the consumer market and processors who process for the food service industry. So with the latter, you're talking about making cheese and other products for restaurants, for schools, for universities, for corporate cafeterias and workplace cafeterias. And that demand has disappeared as we have observed social distancing and been working from home and doing all our various things. But in fact, the consumer demand has doubled because we are now eating all of our meals at home. And so the supply chain was not designed for a pandemic. And it's a long-winded explanation, but what it means is we need a new tool in the toolbox to address this situation. And that's what the Farming Support to States Act addresses.
All right. Now that states are reopening their economies, Wisconsin is... businesses are reopening. We've got Memorial Day next week, which has been the traditional kickoff to the summer season, which is going to look a whole lot different, obviously, this summer. How do you envision this playing out over the course of the summer? Do you think COVID-19 cases are going to start to slow down as summer heats up?
Yeah, well, I'm worried about the consequences we will see in our communities and our hospitals and healthcare facilities if we move forward too quickly. I think we do need to move forward. We need to reopen. Everyone wants that. But we need to do it safely, and we need to be listening to and incorporating the best advice of our public health experts. You know, Governor Evers had provided leadership by basically putting out the best practices of reopening. He had criteria set out that we needed to be able to see 2 weeks of declining cases, or at least the rate of cases going down. And we needed to have adequate testing so that we go from having to quarantine the well to quarantining the sick. But you need to be able to identify the sick before that switch can occur. So I fear if you do it without these careful steps that are guided by public health experts, that we will see a second wave or regional community outbreaks, and that it will cost unnecessary lives.
Do you think until we find a vaccine, we're going to have to see rolling lockdowns over the course of the next several months, interspersed with reopening of, let's say we have a lockdown for a month, and then we reopen for 3 months, and then we have another lockdown until we find a vaccine?
You know, I think that reopening that everybody wants can happen if we follow public health guidance. But if it's just done willy-nilly, it's not going to be as effective, and we will see the consequences. So I think that, if you start at a baseline where there's been a stop to community spread before we reopen, and then people practice social distancing and wearing masks when they're indoors and with others, you know, that we can effectively, as I said before, go from quarantining the well to keep them from exposure to the sick to quarantining the sick. And but that will take testing, and it will take contact tracers to make sure that we're doing that safely and effectively, and making sure that we don't suffer loss of well-being and life as a consequence of doing it too fast.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Thank you so much.